Hello, everybody. NDLers, welcome back to the NDL podcast. We are back. It has been a little bit of a break with the holiday and everything going on. Obviously, Block 7 we are currently in. We wanted to get some content to you guys here before the end of the season, the regular season, that is. But I'm here with Jason. And Jason, I'll ask you, as I always do, how are you, sir?
Doing all right. Kind of in that period between one holiday and the next and trying to, you know, get through these last couple weeks of work so that everybody can kind of get that long break off, hopefully, between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah, I feel like after Thanksgiving, the productivity is not at a high level for a lot of people, whether it's personally and professionally. I can say that, you know, I'm kind of in that same boat where it's like, man, just get me to the holidays, get me through the new year, let me get all the football. Pretty cool, though, that we are in the phase of the actual college football season in real life, and we're actually, you know, in the same spot here in the NDL with the timing of that worked out really, really well. We have a lot to catch up on. You know, obviously, it was a nice little holiday break, and we have a lot that's unfolded here over the past couple of weeks. We didn't really even recap Block 6, but I think where we'll start here is with the most recent CFP that came out. It would have been about a week and a half ago now. We'll dive right into that. I'm looking at the bracket here. You got number one Kansas, who has since fallen. You have number two South Carolina, who's fallen. Got Baylor, who jumped to number one but then lost to Kansas. So, Jason, where do we start with this bracket? How do we dissect it?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, Colorado knocking off Kansas was a huge result, especially when, again, you consider the fact that Kansas has lost a total of two games in, what, 28, 27? I can't do the math. Games in the league. So, you know, Colorado, one of those teams that has definitely played better than the team rating, obviously, two superstars on that team. But, you know, him and Baylor, probably the two best teams in the league right now.
Yep.
They had a pretty big game this past week. The Big 12, just in general, it just feels like murderers row. You know, we talked about beginning of the season SEC, but the Big 12 has just been absolutely a brutal league to play in, and I'm very thankful that I am not taking part of that this year.
Yeah, I left at the right time because I was in that conference last year and I was thinking about staying. I'm really glad I didn't, just kind of looking at the top, you know, five or six teams. The one thing I want to comment on about this bracket is like how weird it is. And no offense, Jason, but you see Kentucky in here and you're like, what? You see Iowa State in here, which, like, you know, in real life they still have a chance. You got Baylor, like, okay, weird. Raging Cajuns at 12. You got Iowa in here, you got Cincinnati. It's just weird. We're not seeing what we see in real life with some of the teams like Oregon and Penn State and Ohio State. You know, obviously the NDL has kind of leveled, or not leveled off, but evened out, if you will, now that we've had a true draft and a full season based on, you know, really, really talented players drafting higher and getting some teams that they can be lethal with. But, you know, I think this is going to change a lot next time the CFP comes out, which should be on a week from today after we close out, or no, sorry, a week from yesterday as we close out the regular season and prepare for conference championships. But, you know, looking at this bracket, I don't even know. I mean, aside from Kansas, I mean, that's very obvious that they've been the best team, you know, for the last two seasons. I don't even know out of this bunch, like, who I would really, you know, go with aside from them. It kind of seems weird to try to pick a team right now out of this this bracket.
Yeah, and the one thing that, you know, makes this even more difficult is that, you know, unlike real life, and we've talked about this before, everybody's on a level playing field in terms of games played and things like that. With this, you know, this last poll that we're going to have at the end of this week will be the first time that everybody will be operating with full data. So you're not going to have a situation where, you know, we're looking at Texas at 4-0 or 5-0 and thing, well, if, you know, if they win out, well, we got to put them here. You know, but we've got this team that's 8-0 and we've got this team that's 4-1, but might win more games because they're in tough, like all these things that have been played into it where it's just hypothetical. You know, and we had this long discussion after the first one about, you know, Mountain West teams versus ACC, et cetera. And, you know, we said, you know, when these things play out, when we start getting more of these conference games in, we're going to find out, you know, all these controversies and arguments that we had early on, all that stuff's going to play out. And that's exactly what happened. And so now, you know, we're coming down to the end with some of these conference title races and, you know, I'm smack dab in the middle of one of them. Mm-hmm. And depending on how things play out over the next couple days, we could have a drastically different, picture than what we have right now. But we could also be in a situation where, you know, teams that we're looking at right now and saying, well, if they went out, they're in, may not even be there in discussion anymore. So it's going to be really interesting. I think obviously we can look at, I'd say, 8 teams and say that, you know, they're a shoe-in, they're in no matter what. But it's those last couple spots that are going to be really interesting to see what happens with, you know, last games to get played out and then some games that are probably going to get simmed.
I don't envy the committee this season. You know, it's a great segue. You're talking about conference races. I want to start talking about some of these because we've really seen things unfold over the past two and a half weeks, if you will, where you look at the ACC and in the bracket, you have Miami in there. And now, you know, Miami suffers a loss recently, and now they're sitting at 8-3 with one game to play, potential conference championship game. Virginia Tech lost a couple games early and now sits at second place in the ACC. So let's talk about this one. I know there's a few games to be played yet here, but, you know, if all these teams finish at, say, like 9-3 or somewhere in that range, obviously SMU's 8-4, they can't finish 9-3. Is this what we talked about a few weeks ago? Is there a chance that this conference maybe, I don't say doesn't get a bid, but is there someone who, you know, steals a bid, I guess, out of this one, or is it just a one bid league?
Yeah, I think no matter what, it's a one bid league. And I think it'll depend on who wins the conference, because obviously if Miami beats Wake Forest, then they're in no matter what to the ACC title game. Mm-hmm. With just the one conference loss. If they were to lose to Wake, there is a possibility that you could have 6 teams tied at 6-2 in the conference standings. Wake would have to win all their games but one. I still play Wake. That's my last game. I don't know if it's going to get played, unfortunately, because we've been trying for 2 weeks to get it scheduled. There's been some issues, and then I'm booked up this week. So that game may end up going to Sim. I don't know if he's got 5 games left to go. And those 5 games are, you know, we talked about a minute ago, some of these games, he's 3-4, but he's 2-1 in conference. So he could theoretically win out and be 8-4 and be in the conference title game. Well, if he's 8-4 and Miami's 8-4 and they're playing for the title, it doesn't matter who wins. They're not getting in because there's no way a 4-loss team with 9 wins is going to get in. I just don't see that happening. There are too many teams that have stronger resumes.
So you're saying
the only way they get in is if they're somehow one of the top 4 conference champions, but I just don't see that happening because you have a situation where, you know, Memphis is going to play for the AAC title. It could be 10-11-2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a good shot that they get in. Mountain West Conference, you've got, you know, Boise State team, San Diego State team. That could be, you know, San Diego State could be 11-2 if they win conference titles. So it's just going to be a lot of hurdles for a 4-loss ACC team to get in. Now, if Miami wins their game, they're 9-3. They're facing either me at 9-3 or Virginia Tech at 9-3. You know, a 10-3 ACC team, in my opinion, gets in. But that's how important that one extra win is. I mean, everything is going to come down to these last couple games. You know, NC State's got the chance to go 8-4 and make the ACC title game. So it's just, there are so many variables in play. And I will tell you what, having looked at the tiebreakers for the ACC, I can't figure it out. Like, even looking at, okay, well, if this team wins and this team wins, yeah, I can't do the math. I mean, tremendous pity for whoever has to do this, because it is so complicated on how the tiebreakers work. And the fact that none of us have like common opponents. There's one team that all of us have played, or that like four of us have played, and that's Stanford. And Stanford's caused all kinds of chaos. They beat me last night.
Beat Notre Dame earlier this season.
But that one doesn't, factor in. But
it factors in that Notre Dame's not in, right? And they're on the outside.
That's true.
In right now.
That's true. Which, you know, I'm sure you're a little bit happy about, because it might mean they're on the market. But
I didn't score high. I didn't score high enough. Don't worry. I'm not going to be there.
But you know that this is what it's going to come down to. And then there's still some games in the Big Ten. You know, the next one we should talk about. You know, yep. Iowa's sitting at 10-1, 8-0 in the conference. They've still got one game to go. Penn State is 8-1 in conference. Michigan State 7-1. So, I mean, there are still a couple of games outstanding there where, you know, we're still looking. And then Nebraska, you know, has only played six games. They're 3-0. So there is still a lot to be determined over these next couple of days.
There is. So I guess one thing I want to comment on the ACC, are you saying that there's a possibility that it's a no-bid league because you'll have a four-loss conference champion?
I do. I think that, especially with the committee, you know, there are going to be other teams from smaller conferences that are sitting on two losses. And we've already seen with the first playoff committee that some of them value some of those teams ahead of ACC teams, whether that's right, wrong, indifferent, you know, that's not up to me. That's up to them. And that's the tricky part of this. If you're sitting on four losses as a 9-4 ACC team, do you get in when you've got potentially conference champions who are sitting at 11-2?
Well, I guess it's just going to depend on the rankings, right? I mean, if the conference champion comes out of this and they're ranked like 20th, right, or the committee has to rank that far to get this situated, they would fall out, because you could potentially have a Memphis who is ranked, you know, 14th or 15th or whatever, and in that scenario, it's the higher ranked conference champion gets the bid,
or Louisiana if they go 13-0,
Exactly. A lot to uncover, and kind of good. Another good segue onto the Big Ten. I believe, again, I might be wrong here because there could be some scenarios, but I believe Iowa is in the conference championship game because their last game is against Rutgers, which will be a sim. It looks like, am I mistaken on that? Is their last game? Or no, their last game is Nebraska. Sorry.
Yeah.
They have not played Nebraska yet. I know he's a new coach, just got in a week or so ago. Not sure what's going to fall out there, but I think they're in the conference championship game, based on tiebreakers. And then
they beat Michigan State. They beat Ohio State. I mean, I think
they can't fall below Oregon
based on the tiebreakers.
Yeah, exactly. So they're in. And then you look at Penn State, Michigan State, and then of course Nebraska, if you know things catch up here. But this is going to be 1-2. Michigan State is one that, you know, we got to talk about. We have talked about. You know, I think we talked on PTI a couple weeks ago, like, you know, who has a chance to steal a bid here? And this is another scenario where it's like a, you know, 8-4 or 9-4 Michigan State, you know, I think gets a bid into this, depending on where they finish based on strength of schedule and just the results in the Big Ten. But this is one where it's going to get really tricky.
See, I'm on the exact opposite when it comes to Michigan State, because, yes, kudos to them for playing a tough schedule. They haven't beaten anybody. I mean, the only win that they have to point to really is Oregon. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great that you schedule all these tough teams. You got to beat one of them. You know, losing by 21 to Kansas, losing by 9 to LSU, you know, losing to Kentucky by 3. Like, there's only one game in there where you point at and go, okay, well, they were really competitive in that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And, well, losing by three to Iowa as well. But, I mean, winning one of those games would help. But if you're sitting at 9-4, again, it comes back to the ACC. It's difficult for me to say, okay, you deserve to be in when there are other teams that beat some of these teams and need their shot in. Now, if Michigan State wins their conference and they're 9-4, and the ACC's got a 9-4 champion, one of them's getting left out for sure. There's a possibility both could get left out. And then you start looking at some really tricky situations where Big 10 champion doesn't get in, but other teams in the Big 10 do. It is a real possibility.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I'm looking at other conference races. There's something that's sticking out to me when I'm looking at the standings and all this. There are a crap ton of 10-2 teams, and that's why I do not envy the committee for having to try to decide which 10-2 team is better than the other 10-2 team. I mean, you look at the SEC alone, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all 7 teams, theoretically, maybe not, I'm not looking at the schedules, but like you have the top 7 teams are all in that 1 or 2 loss space right now. I'm guessing, no, none of them play each other in the final week of the season. So, I mean, that could be an interesting scenario where it's like, how do you decide who is better than the other, right? And who gets in and who doesn't? And do you really got to dig into the points for and points against, the opponent record, who do they play? You know, look, LSU's won 10 in a row. They're the hottest and best team right now. I just don't envy the position that they're in, because you look at all these conferences and there's so many 10-2 teams that are going to be a lot of tough decisions.
Yeah. I mean, I think with the SEC, there at least 4 teams are getting in. I think both teams that play in the SEC championship game will get in. You know, if Florida and Georgia don't reach the conference title game, I feel like they get in, depending on
Florida
results.
Florida's postseason banned, so
that's right.
Won't matter.
They would still be involved, you know. But yeah, obviously,
they could.
But then, does that mean that Alabama or Kentucky slip in?
Right, and they could mess it up for somebody. Right, it could be a weird scenario. I'm trying to think of who did that in someone did that in basketball in real life, where they like won the NCAA or they won their conference tournament but couldn't participate, and then that, like, you know, someone else got the bid, or I don't know. It was a very interesting scenario and situation.
Yeah, it was Bellarmine. It was Bellarmine College here in That's Louisville. Right. They won their conference title, but because they were a new, school coming up from Division II, they were not allowed to participate in the NCAA tournament for the first 4 years.
That's right. It's one of the dumbest rules, I think, in college sports. It's like, if you move up a division, you have to sit out for 4 years. It's like, what? Like, why?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Well, let's talk about the Big 12 then. We've talked about 2 of the power conferences. I think we'll just stick to power conferences in the playoff for this one. And the next podcast, we'll talk more about bowl games and matchups and all that sort of stuff. Because we will be releasing bowl games a week from Friday. So that'll be 2 podcasts from now. But let's talk about the Big 12. Obviously, we had the big showdown, Baylor versus Kansas. I was surprised to see Baylor get ranked number 1. Obviously, the 2 teams are very close statistically and results-wise. Obviously, Kansas did lose. Well, Kansas had not lost that game to Cincinnati yet. Colorado yet, until after the rankings. But let's talk about that game first. 1-2, you know, Kansas bounced back after a loss from Colorado. I guess, what do you see from these 2 teams? Are these 2 teams in no matter what, even with conference championship results?
Yeah, I mean, Kansas is in no matter what. There's no way he gets left out. Baylor has been right there with him all season. I've had Baylor number 1 in my rankings most of the year because he played a tougher schedule between the two. Obviously, next poll, Kansas will be ahead of Baylor. But I'm, you know, looking at the conference, again, this is another tough one where there are 4 teams worthy of getting in. I don't include Cincinnati just because strength of schedule has not been the greatest. They've played Kentucky, who's ranked, lost. They played Colorado and beat them by 3, but they lost to Iowa State. They didn't play Kansas. They didn't play Baylor. So, I mean, it's tough to give them a nod when they didn't play most of the big teams in the conference. And the other ones did. You know, Colorado beat Kansas. That's a massive win. Kansas beat Baylor. That's a massive win. So this is another one of those leagues where somebody's probably worthy of being in, but is going to be left out. And like you said, trying to pick between, you know, two lost teams, because you're going to have 10-2 and you're going to have an 11-2 in there. Because I'm pretty sure we're going to have Baylor Kansas rematch in the title. So
yeah,
it's a tricky league. And again, I am not envious of the task that's in front of these guys when they have to sit down and make these decisions.
Yeah, it's almost like looking at some of these power conferences. We should just have a playoff between the conferences, and then the winner of that that playoff goes to the next playoff, right? Or I don't know. It's crazy. Yeah, I'm looking at, you know, one thing that surprised me, almost messed up the 1-2 matchup, was Baylor almost dropped a game to a winless West Virginia team at the time. I know West Virginia has won a game, and I know they had two different coaches this year, so it wasn't just lone the entire time. I know the coach before them, I think, maybe started out like 0-4, 0-5, but you start to see that at the end of the season. Like, there's almost these slip-ups, or there's almost these really, really big upsets. You would have never guessed an 0-10 West Virginia team almost beat a 10-0 Baylor team. But yeah, I mean, I just don't even know who I would choose or how I would choose out of this conference. I mean, I thought Colorado was, you know, at one point a shoe-in, and it's like, well, shoot, they beat Kansas though. So it's like, how do you stack them up? Then it's like, well, Cincinnati, you know, is 8-1 in the conference as well, but didn't, you know, play maybe some of the others. And it's just, I could beat it to death, but I have a headache just thinking about it. I feel like that meme from Always Sunny. I forget the guy's name. I think I brought it up before.
Charlie Day.
Yeah, Charlie Day pointing at the board with the strings attached, and this team beat this team, and this team lost to this team.
No, it's difficult, and again, it goes down to, we've probably got 20 teams that could make a, you know, understandable argument for being involved in this, but at the end of the day, it's, these guys are going to have to sit down and look at a lot of data. And I think one of the big data points that we didn't talk about, you know, you look at strength of schedule. I think that's one of the things that's going to hurt the Big Ten, is the teams at the top of the Big Ten do not have a great strength of schedule. I mean, Penn State and Nidler, 10-2, he's had a great season, but his opponent record is 51-79. I think Ohio State having a down year, somewhat down year, has hurt him. Michigan State has the ridiculous strength of schedule that we talked about. Oregon's got a sub-500. Nebraska still has games to go, but they're at 22-38. Iowa's opponents are 56-68. You compare that with some of these other teams, I think that's going to play a role in this. So, you know, it's all going to depend on what the committee values the most. Do they value ranked wins? Do they value strength of schedule? Do they value opponent win record? You know, it's one thing if you play a strong schedule, but did you, or the teams that you beat, are they, you know, 20-80, or are they 40-40? That, I think that matters.
And I mean, you could almost play the game like they do on College Game Day, or like they do on studio shows, of like you pair two blind resumes next to each other, and then you reveal the teams, right? And it's like, oh wow, these look very similar. But then you kind of know, you know, the strength of schedule, you know who the coach is, you know, yeah, some of the results they've gotten, or some of the wins and maybe not so big wins. And you know, you look at, like you said, like the Big Ten, you could take a Penn State or an Oregon and stack those up against a Georgia and Alabama. And SEC aside, you just look at the strength of schedule and who each team has played. You have to take Georgia and Alabama compared to Oregon and Penn State because of the loss that Oregon, you know, had at Purdue. And then, you know, Penn State, I'm not sure who their losses are. I forget. I know one's Ohio State and one was early in the season as well as a non-conference. But like you said, there's probably 20 teams.
Missouri.
Missouri, who, you know, started off hot and then, you know, is going to finish in the middle of the pack in the SEC. And then I know, you know, there's some common opponents there. But like you said, there's probably 20 teams who legitimately have could say that, hey, we deserve to be in, right? Or, hey, I think, you know, we should be in. But not only that, I mean, that's going to make for some really, really great bowl game matchups outside of the playoff that I definitely want to keep an eye on once those come out, because I think we get so hyper focused on the playoffs and miss out on some of these potential really good bowl game matchups. You know, you're going to see a lot of 10-2, maybe even 11-1 teams in some smaller conferences, you know, have some pretty fun games. You got one team I want to shout out, and we talked about a lot. It's just obviously unfortunate the opponent record isn't very good, the strength of schedule, but Dave at UConn going 12-0, you know, that is never easy to do, no matter who you are, what your schedule is, to win 12 straight games, to go undefeated. You know, obviously getting ranked, getting some love in the coaches' polls up to 14, but you know, probably not going to see an opportunity at the college football playoff either. So,
no, and with being an independent, you know, no conference championship game means 12 is the most he's going to get.
Right. Well, bowl game 13. But
well, I mean, before the playoff, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I guess anything to kind of put a bow on some of the CFP talk, anything predictions you think is going to happen, or are we going to see, you know, how many new teams could we see in here? I mean, just based on what we have now, like, could you see a shift of like 6 new teams in here from the at-large bids based on the results we've seen the last week or so, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think the SEC and the Big 12 are going to dominate. I see both of them getting at least 3 teams, potentially 4, depending on who wins the conference championships there. But in terms of what coaches are in, I think you're going to see some new faces from what you saw last year, because obviously Notre Dame's out. Tennessee from last year's not in. So,
Ohio
I mean,
State,
it's going, yeah, Ohio State's out. So it's going to be fun, but we are going to see, you know, Bucknut and LSU are going to be in there. Obviously Jiggy and Kansas will be in there. So, I mean, there'll be some familiar faces, but I think after having seen, you know, some of these results, and especially with Colorado beating Kansas, I think there's more of a chance that we have a new champion this year than I thought a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, I know South Carolina's got 2 more games left, but again, who knows what happens? I think there's only 2 teams as of right now that are, well, maybe 3 that are like for sure in. And I would say LSU's one of them. I would say Kansas is the other. And then the other one or two, I guess, after that would be Baylor and South Carolina. Just, you know, or sorry, Baylor and Georgia. I think DeKane's in 10-2. Gauntlet of a schedule, you know, got all the results he needed, in my opinion. And then after that, I'm just like, I'm not sure that the next however many at-large bids there are, I think there's, what, 6 or 7 at-large bids. Good luck, right? Like, close your eyes and throw a dart, and you can predict who's going to be in there. And I guess, you know, we all predicted, I bet we'd all be wrong. So, yeah, it's going to be very crazy to see unfold after the next few days.
And I think the other thing, that the elephant in the room, is we're probably going to see a roster update after this weekend. After the conference championship games, we're going to see players get some increases, decreases, etc. But more importantly, are we going to see players, as they start opting out and hitting the transfer portal, are we going to see players disappear off rosters? Because, you know, that's key for a team like Kentucky. You know, knowing from personal experience, there has been a mass exodus of players this week. The program's in turmoil, and you've got multiple players who the quarterback entered the transfer portal today. So, you know, are we going to see a roster update between the end of our regular season and the start of the college football playoff that throws everything out of whack?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because in this NIL era where these players got paid to be in this game, like, do they take them off, or do they, you know, move them somewhere else? I don't think so, right? I think this is just my opinion and my guess. I think the rosters will stay the same. I don't think they'll take players off of rosters or deactivate them because they entered the transfer portal. But I could be wrong. I don't know. I mean, that is an interesting wrinkle that you don't really think of. Like,
and
I know,
even if
my,
they don't take them off, we could see some serious rating changes.
Right, exactly. And that's one thing where with my team, you know, I got the update a week after the season started, and my 84 overall starting quarterback went to the bench, and I think he went down to like 82 or 81. because he tore his ACL and is out for the year. And same with my running back, you know, out for the season, and was still, you could still use him. I could still put him in the game and use them and play them. But yeah, it was just, it's interesting how they do that. And then, yeah, I wasn't aware that there was a new update coming here next week. So
I would assume we're going to get one. A team like mine's going to get Ben packed up because Jaden Ott, he's run for 301 yards on 105 carries this year. He's just not been he dealt with an injury early in the season, and he's just been awful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of those situations where my team could get drastically hit by that.
Yeah.
You know, I there's a possibility I'm playing for a playoff spot in the ACC championship game, depending on how things play out. I could have a completely different team than what I've had most of the season. So, and you could have a team like Kansas where, you know, they started the season rough and they've just been tearing down the Big 12 and just causing havoc week after week. We could see Jiggy's team get a bump.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they got hot at the end of the season. That's for sure. I'm just kind of scrolling through some teams here to just talk about a little bit. I know we're going to keep the show a little shorter, and then you have a longer show next week with another reveal. But I want to talk a little bit about, you know, it's interesting, Jason, we look at the full body of work, right? And, you know, 3-4 weeks ago, we're talking about, oh, this team's at the top of the conference and, you know, they could make a run. Or, you know, I see a team on here in the ACC that I want to say started out like 1-4 or maybe even like 0-4, and then had a great run here. And I want to shout out Stanford, Ninja Nano, had a nice little season too last year at Air Force. And now here at Stanford, you know, he probably didn't have the hottest start and ended up getting some big wins. And I know I'm not trying to pour salt on the wound. I know mm-hmm. he just lost to him the other day, mm-hmm. but he beat you.
Right,
he was
right,
at the
right.
top of the conference, but then he beat Notre Dame too. Like that was one of the biggest wins that everyone in the league was talking about earlier this season. And then on the other hand, you look at a team like Georgia Tech, who was, you know, really a darling to start the season, and lost 5 in a row down the stretch. It just goes to show, and I do want to shout out his opponent record is insane, off the charts, you know, almost a 64% win percentage opponent record. But
64 is also about the number of times he fumbled this season, he'll tell you.
Yeah. But, you know, it just goes to show, like, the NDL is a really hard league. You can start, like, I struggle with this almost every season. I start out like 4-1, or this year I didn't. I had a pretty bad start, but I'm usually in a spot where I'm like 4-1 or 5-2, and I'm like, okay, maybe this is the year I get over the hump. And then, boom, I run into Iowa, Penn State, Oregon in 3 weeks and lose all three. It is a really tough league, and, you know, it's just interesting to see some of these teams who maybe didn't start off so hot and then just went on a tear. And I don't know if you have any teams that come to mind on your end that you're seeing that you noticed, like maybe they started 0-2 or, you know, no one was talking about them early and then boom, they went on a pretty good run.
I mean, obviously Chase at Virginia Tech, you know, yep. That's one of those situations where he loses beginning of the season to Baylor, loses to Miami week 5. He's sitting at 2-2 and everybody's writing him off and sitting there, you know, a chance to play for the ACC title. His only other loss was a 1-point loss to Boston College. So, you know, it there are so many things with this game and all it takes sometimes. You know, I'm sitting here at 8-3, but there are three games off the top of my head that one play, single play in the game goes differently. I'm sitting at 5-6. You know, this game is so momentum-based, as I found out against Stanford. All it takes is one play and everything can just steamroll, especially if you're on the road. And, you know, finding a new playbook, switching a quarterback for another quarterback. You know, Florida State did that and he went on a run. So right. there are just so many things with this game that sometimes it just takes a little luck here and there. And it turns a, you know, a 0-3 start or an 0-2 start or 1-2 start into a great finish. I also think, again, we can't overlook the fact that the roster update that we got a couple weeks after the draft was massive. You know, nobody will tell you that more than Mark. You know, poor Syracuse, he's sitting here appealing to the Supreme Court, I think, next week about his 1-10 season because his roster just got gutted by that thing. So, again, there are just so many variables in this league, and you have to bring your A game every game because it doesn't matter how good of a coach you are, as we saw with the West Virginia Baylor game. If your opponent has a good night on the sticks, that can be the difference.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that about Syracuse, because like they ended up having a really, really good season in real life, and they're probably going to get a bump back up right after this season. So sorry, Mark, if you're listening, that's that is tough. But I mean,
right after they beat Miami.
Yeah. No, I mean, this game is very momentum based, and you know, I don't know if I talked about it, but like I was up 21-3 on Penn State on Nidler on the road, like at Happy Valley. And man, like, I don't even think I turned the ball over. I just all of a sudden couldn't get first downs anymore. You know, the runs that were going for 7 yards were only going for three, and I was a yard or two short on fourth or and third down going into fourth. And he ended up, looks like he rolled me. I mean, he did in the second half. I want to say he scored like 35 points in the second half. Same thing happened to me last night against Minnesota, and I think some of you probably saw that video. I was like, I wasn't even mad. I was like, I was up 20-3. I threw a pick six in the second half. It was 20-10. And after that on the road, man, the momentum just, I couldn't get the first down on third and three. I'd run the ball for 2 yards instead of three to get to be on fourth and one. And it was just like 21 straight points in 3 minutes in the fourth quarter. And I was going to complain about the EA momentum wave. And then that happened to him. And I will never complain again about it, because I got extremely lucky with a just fluke fumble on an interception. But anyways, you bring up a good point, man. This is just a tough league. You know, you look at guys like Big Ryan Clemson, who had a, 9-3 season and now 4-6 this season. And then you see guys too, who, you know, maybe had tough seasons last year that are now, 7-5 or going 8-4, which is, good to see. So yeah, end of the day, it's one season. You might have a great one, you might have a not so great one, and that's all right. You move on to the next, and you challenge yourself and you get back to it. So sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we'll wrap it up there. We'll have, like I said, a lot more for you guys here next week. Just wanted to get some content out, some easy listening for 35-40 minutes. But yeah, let's wrap up the season strong, guys. Get your games in. Don't be the guy who has sim losses, or even sim. Well, I guess sim wins. You're at least trying to play. So get those games in. And obviously blitz has been a big hit. Stay active, and we'll get through this season. For those who maybe aren't quite playing for playoffs or other conference championships, you have a lot to stay busy and keep going here as we, prepare for the end of the season and moving into our third and final season of 2024. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. Have a great week. Go NDL.